You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I am Ira Flatow, and as you know, Labor Day weekend is upon us. Where did the summer go? And if it's gone for you, you know, it's the traditional end of the summer, the unofficial end of the summer. Maybe you did something really interesting during the summer on your vacation. You know, maybe not something, you know, that you cleaned out the garage, that sort of thing. Maybe something having to do with science. And maybe you went on a hike. Maybe you hiked across and found a fossil, or you saw a bird in your backyard and you added to your list of birds that you like to watch. Maybe you installed solar panels on your roof, or you built a fusion reactor in your garage, or maybe you took a sailboat trip on something like Pete Seeger's boat, the Clearwater, and you'd love to talk about what that was like. Well, that's what we want to hear about. We want you to phone in now, 1-800-989-8255, and tell us what you did on your summer vacation. Also, in Second Life, go to Science Friday Island and sit down with the rest of the avatars, and you can send us a question there from Second Life. And here to help us navigate through your calls and maybe offer some ideas of her own is Lynn Brunell. She's author of several books, including Pop Bottle Science and Camp Out, both published by Workman. And she's also an Emmy Award-winning writer for Bill Nye the Science Guy. And she has helped write the Science Friday Kids Connection curriculum materials. Welcome back to the program, Lynn.
Hi, Ira.
Did you do anything special on your summer vacation for science-y?
Oh, did we?
Yeah?
My 4-year-old and 6-year-old and I dabbled in biology, chemistry, physics, astronomy, geology, and solar panels.
Did you build a solar panel?
No. You know what we did build? We built a solar pizza oven made out of an old pizza box and aluminum foil and black construction paper. And we made nachos with the power of the sun.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really cool. You can really sort of harness that energy and show kids that the sun is a pretty strong thing.
No one tried to use that as a, you know, one of those tanning machine reflector face reflector things.
Yeah, you get a nice tan off that.
All right, let's get a call or two, and we'll discuss what people did. Jeff in Denver. Hi, Jeff.
How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I went down to Akamal, an ecological center about 2 hours south of Cancun. And, of course, while it was, we call it water quality research, studying wetlands that treat septic tank outflow before the water ends up in the bay there where turtles, nest and all that. And it ends up these wetlands do a pretty good job taking about 99% of the coliforms out before the water goes out. But, of course, the other research was, the best beaches and the best tequila and stuff.
Well, all work and no play is not a good thing.
That's right.
So you enjoyed it. It was like sort of an educational experience for you.
Absolutely. And it was working with some of the Yucatan state officials in an actual science lab. And I only got in on this by taking a biotechnology class that just kind of piqued my interest. I'm a high school science teacher, but this was kind of just icing on the cake.
Lynn Brunell, ecotourism. Sounds
Hey, there you go. I was also thinking maybe that tequila got rid of the last 10% of those coliforms.
There you go.
All right, Jeff, thanks for calling. 1-800-989-8255. Let's go to Catherine in Berkeley. Hi, Catherine.
Hi, how are you?
Hi there.
I'm fine.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm a professional linguist, and I work. I've been working this summer for 2 months on a National Science Foundation contract. I'm a subcontractor for a project up at UC Davis, and what it is they're digitizing the field notes, which is about 487 shelf feet of field notes, 500 microfilm reels, of a man named John Peabody Harrington, who worked for the Bureau of Ethnography and collected information between 1900 and 1960 on over 100 Native American languages.
Right.
And most of these languages no longer, have living speakers. And so they're digitizing it. I'm doing a chronology of his work so that researchers, will know where he was when. And some of his notes are still out there. He stored them in places we don't know. So this is the only record of some of these languages.
How did you get on this trip?
Started working with his field notes when I was in grad school over 30 years ago. And I got fascinated by the man. I'm actually writing a bio of him. But I got fascinated with him. He was, an unusual man, a driven man, and he just spent his life, trying to avoid the bureaucracy and write down you know, mm-hmm. information on languages that he knew were dying, and he knew it was important to to keep a record of them.
Are they actually recording the languages themselves so we can hear how they sound?
Well, yeah, he was always up on the latest technology. I mean, when he began his work, it was wax cylinders, so there's collections of wax cylinders of some of his consultants speaking or singing, and then later he moved to aluminum discs, and he never got into the magnetic tape recording era. He retired from the Smithsonian in 1954, I think it was. But yeah, I mean, his wax recordings and aluminum discs are slowly, as the institutions that hold them can afford it, they are slowly, you know, transferring them into modern digital technologies. But most of it is handwritten field notes.
Wow.
And this man could transcribe phonetically just, you know, at a phenomenal speed.
Wow. Hmm.
Thank you, Catherine. It sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Thanks
for
calling.
From the past.
Yeah. I never get to go on these sorts of things.
I don't either.
My field trip is looking for the grub worms that are eating my lawn.
And I do baking soda and vinegar volcanoes.
the old fire extinguisher sort of thing? I
remember. Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, we were very hot on volcanoes this summer, and our sandbox is pretty much transformed into a big... I would say baking soda and vinegar lab. We found that our best ones were one which was surprising is throwing a couple extra things, and if you threw glitter and some dish soap in, you get some great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. I'm writing, I'm taking notes. But, well, of course, volcanoes are big on your list. You're out there near Seattle.
Yeah, that's true.
You want to keep an eye on those. Let's go to Kate in Charlotte, North Carolina. Hi, Kate.
Hi.
Hi there.
I went to the Galapagos this summer.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah, it was a wonderful trip. I had 8 days on a boat that sleeps 16, and my 17-year-old son came along, and it was just a phenomenal trip.
Did you get
beyond
to
beyond all my expectations.
Did you get to go snorkeling at all?
Yes, I was in the water every day, in there with tons of wildlife. And, you know, I'm not a big snorkeler, though I am now, and I've been around, you know, in the Bahamas and places like that where you see 20 fish and you say, hey, that's a great day. Well, in the Galapagos, I would sometimes be in entire schools of hundreds and hundreds of fish.
What was
and
the
that
most
was
surprising
just snorkeling.
Thing?
Pardon me?
What was the most surprising thing you saw?
I think the surprising thing for me was actually the way that all the wildlife was very comfortable with us. And nothing ran away ever or swam away or flew away. Or, you know, I had birds sitting on my finger when I didn't mean to. You know, they just actually kind of fly over and be right next to you. And as a joke, I stuck my finger next to a branch once where the bird was and hopped right on my finger.
Wow.
So the hard part was coming home where everything flies away and runs away, where there, you know, you could sit right next to the sea lions on the beach while they're nursing, you know, literally right next to them. And they'd come and play with you in the water. And it just, it was a phenomenal experience, beyond what I expected. I thought it would be a great trip, but it was even better.
Was there
I'm a science educator, so it was like going to Mecca for me.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun on that vacation.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it was wonderful. I had a lot of fun. I learned a lot. It was a pretty diverse crowd on the boat itself, so I got to meet some people from different parts of the world and practice my Spanish, which is always a good thing.
Yeah. Well, good luck to you. I'm jealous.
Thank you. You should go.
I've been there once.
I remember
once walking through all those blue-footed boobies. And,
yes, that's right. I remember you mentioning that once. Yeah, it was wonderful. They just sit there and do their usual thing and don't mind that we're standing there staring at them while they're doing
stuff. It's the only time I snorkeled with a penguin as it flew underneath me underwater, you know. Oh, did you see the penguins on there?
Yes. Oh. We saw them both in and out, and they're just amazing in the water. They're so fast. And there were sharks in the water with us, just everything. It was just phenomenal. It made me want to go out and learn how to dive now.
It's like being on another planet.
Uh-huh. Yes, and it's just a phenomenal place, and I hope that we can keep it that way, so that people can have this type of experience, because it's a very, very special, special place.
All right, Lynn, you're signing up for your next trip with your kids?
Absolutely. You're coming with me?
It's great for kids. It's good for kids, you know, after they get to be about maybe 10 or 12, you know, I think they would really get something out of it.
All right.
Now, is there anything poisonous there that you don't want necessarily not moving when you come near?
Not really. It's pretty much a safe spot. I mean, every once in a while you might find something that could, you know, bite you, but it wouldn't kill you. You know, it's a very safe feeling. I mean, in the water, every once in a while you might need to worry about something. But even then, you know, we had black-tip sharks and white-tip sharks near us. There were never any hammerheads near us. when we were in the water, I saw them from the boat many times, and
right.
they don't hurt you. They're just sort of scary looking.
and a 16-person boat is the way to do it. That's about
yes,
the size you need.
Yes, because it's small, and you don't go trooping ashore with 50 people.
Right.
You know, you go ashore with 15 people, and after the last half of our trip, we only had 7 people.
Yeah.
And that was even better because it's one Zodiac for all the excursions, and it just you have a more of a feeling of not being around with a gazillion people if you're on a smaller boat.
Sounds great, Kate. Thanks for sharing.
Wow. It was wonderful. Thanks. I'm enjoying the program.
See you on the next one. Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye.
1-800-989-8255 is our number. Let's see what other kinds of interesting things our listeners did. Jim in Napoleon, Ohio. Hi, Jim.
Hi, Ira.
Hi
I'm
there.
A big fan of your show, and thanks for having me on.
Thank you. You're welcome.
I did a bike trip this summer in conjunction with my 25th reunion at Carleton College. I rode my bicycle back to Carleton and raised money for that school's Sustainability Revolving Fund. That fund is what students on campus use to implement green projects.
Mm.
Not only do they have to be green, but they have to return money
right.
within 6 years. And my classmates got behind my trip, and the rest of the reunion got behind the trip, and then the school, and there was even a kid from Cleveland that rode his bicycle to Carleton
mm-hmm.
after having read about my website. So it was a great effort. We raised some money, and we raised a lot of awareness.
Made you feel good, too, didn't it?
Well, both, you know, emotionally, and yes, I did.
Yeah.
I look better in a bikini than I have in a long time.
Well, that leaves me out of this one.
But it was a great thing, and we called it Jim's Bright Idea.
Mm-hmm.
And it was in conjunction, like I said, with Carleton College's 25th reunion.
Well, thanks,
really
Jim.
Really happy to do it.
Thanks for sharing. Take care.
Thanks, Ira.
Have a good Labor Day.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 1-800-989-8255 is our number. A suggestion. Well, here's a shared thought from Second Life. PR Mantis says, my best summer science vacation is to the Invertebrates in Conservation and Education Conference in Arizona, also called the Bugs in Bondage Conference. A lot of people, good time, Lynn, to go away. Learn something.
Yeah, Bugs in Bondage. I don't know how fun that is for the bugs.
I don't know. It's the kind of movie title you want to stay away from. do you take your kids on the road when you instead of, you know?
Yeah, we do. You know, we've been going camping quite a bit. That's always just such a fun thing to get out and get away from home, but also be in the woods. And we've been at the beach quite a lot, too. So we started things like rock collections and all sorts of things. But you're just him talking about biking. You know, there's science in that. You know, we've been my 6-year-old Kai just got off his training wheel, so he's been going over jumps. So we've been doing a lot of experiments in physics.
And the landings are tough.
Exactly. You got a lot to work with gravity.
let's go to Ingrid in Warren, Illinois, on Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News.
Hello, Ira.
Hi, Ingrid.
We had a wonderful experience this summer, and it's still going on. And her name is Miss Federico, and she's a little bird that fell out of her nest when she had no feathers on. And I found her in my garden with her legs straight up and looking pitiful. And I called my brother, who is a bird expert in Sweden, and I said, "What can we do?" And he said, "I don't think very much, but you can try to warm the bird up." And we did, and I'll tell you something. She is wonderful. It's now 3 months later, and she's a little sparrow, and she's totally, totally, totally in love with us, as we are with her. And I have 5 poodles, and she takes bites on their back. And when they lie down in the grass, she lies down next to them. And the cardinals come when we feed the bird out on the lawn. They come, and orioles and all sorts of it's a peaceable kingdom here. It's just wonderful. And you're welcome to come. I'm a good cook, and I'd love to take care of you.
Thank you, Ingrid. We'll take you up on that.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling.
Thank you.
You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. I'm Ira Flato here with Lynn Brunell, who is author of several books, including Pop Bottle Science and Camp Out, published by Workman. Taking care of a bird, that's an interesting thing.
Yeah.
You know, animals hurt animals.
Yeah. You know, we live out sort of in the woods, so we've got quite a variety of wildlife that comes through, but we have a family of pheasants that we've been watching grow up right in the backyard, which is nice. And it's especially nice since we've got quite a lot of coyotes, and the pheasants seem to be surviving, so that's all good.
That is good. Let's go back to the phones to Ivor in Brookings, South Dakota. Hi, Ivor.
Hi, how are you today?
Fine, how are you?
I'm doing great. I was just calling to tell you about that every year around this time of year, we head out of town. Brookings is not a big city, but big enough that the lights just about wash out the Milky Way.
Mm.
And so we head about 30 miles out of town and just stand and look at the Milky Way. That, you know, I grew up in this in St. Louis, other big cities, and you never see it there.
Yeah.
But it is just, you get out in some really good dark skies, and it is just amazing, just thoroughly amazing.
Very, so yeah, it's spectacular.
We try to do that this time of year every summer.
So you have the same, you go to the same spot every year?
Yep, because we know the way and know the lay of the land and how to not trip over things on the way back.
Do you bring any binoculars or telescopes to look at, you know, Jupiter, good planets out now?
I did not take a telescope out with us this time, but I've been out there at other times and been taking pictures of Jupiter, actually, which is
it's a great thing.
With the new webcams, it's just a fantastic thing to do.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for calling.
Yeah.
Good luck to you. Good luck next year doing it.
Thanks a lot.
Lindy, is the aurora visible where you guys are at all?
I haven't seen it, to be honest with you. I suspect that every once in a while it's got to be up there. But, you know, we live in a pretty cloudy part of the country. So if it's up there, it may be behind a little curtain of clouds.
So you never see it in the wintertime, summertime? Or
I don't. No. You know, we've got quite a great view of, like, the meteor showers, the Perseids, which are going on soon, aren't they? I mean, are the Perseids happening?
I think we missed them.
Oh, did we miss them?
Yeah.
And the, you know, the moon, and we get to see the planets on those clear nights. But no, I've never seen those. But I would love to.
Yeah, I think the Leonids will be coming. I think there's one.
Is Leonids in August?
I think they're in November.
November.
Believe me, we'll get 400 phone calls telling me you screwed up the timing of the meteor showers. You know, that's a great thing to do, to go out in the meteor showers in the summertime and, you know, lie down on a lounge chair and just look up at the sky and stay out late.
It's just, you know, even when there aren't meteor showers, it's really fun because chances are you're going to see one.
Yeah.
And that's fun for the kids, especially on hot nights.
Get
out, lie on top of your sleeping bag and look up.
They get to stay out late.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay, and they get rewarded. Hang with us, Lynn. We're going to take a short break, come back and talk more with Lynn Brunell. Your phone calls, 1-800-989-8255. What kind of sciencey, nature-y things, technology things? Maybe you built a robot in your basement, or you built an airplane in your living room and you can't get it out of there now. I know people who have done that. Stay with us. We'll be right back. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Talk of the Nation Science Friday from NPR News. You're listening to Talk of the Nation Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. We're talking this hour about your summer of science. What did you do on your summer vacation? With me is Lynn Brunell. She is author of several books, including Pop Bottle Science and Camp Out, both published by Workman. And at Pop Bottle Science, you get a pop bottle, don't you, Lynn?
You get a pop bottle, and you get measuring spoons and a measuring thing, and you got balloons. You got all sorts of stuff that you can do. There's 79 different science experiments you can do with a pop bottle in the book. It's pretty fun. We go through a lot of pop bottles in our
I've seen the recyclable bin. Okay, let's go to the phone. Let's go to Ellie in Bloomington, Minnesota. Hi, Ellie.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hi, Ellie.
I'm just calling from Bloomington, Minnesota. And we went to the Boundary Waters in Ely this summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned how to use a compass to find my portages and the lake.
Oh, fun.
Wow.
And I used I learned how to use a magnifying glass to carve or to burn my name into a walking stick with the power of the sun.
Wow. Oh, that's cool.
Ellie, did you ever hear of Albert Einstein?
Yep.
You know, it's a compass that got him started on his career in science.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe, so where would you go next on another trip? What would you like to do for your next science trip?
Well, I'd like to climb a mountain with my grandpa.
Yeah, there's a lot. I love rocks. Do you collect rocks at all when you go climbing?
Well, I like looking at quartz and stuff.
Mm.
Mm.
That's pretty cool. Did you know you could make your own compass? Did you know you could take a magnet, a bar magnet, and a needle, and you rub the magnet from the whole end of the needle to the point about 20 times in the same direction, and then place it on a cork that's floating in water, and it will always go north-south.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you should try it. See if it works.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for calling, and good luck. Have a good holiday weekend.
You too.
1-800-989-8255. That kid had a good time. Compasses are great. These simple little devices are terrific.
It's fun. You know, science is everywhere. Tell me about Einstein and the compass.
Well, he always wrote that his uncle who gave him a compass. And this was the first, his little foray into science when he was a little kid, something like 5 or 6, something like that, or 3, maybe even younger, like 3 years old. And that got him thinking about nature, and magnetism and things like that.
You know, we took the kids to Legoland this summer, and did you know that there's a huge Lego head of Albert Einstein?
No kidding.
That made me so happy to see, I got to tell you.
Well, I agree with you, it's good to see that there are at least some scientific influences on people who are making stuff out of Lego.
Absolutely, absolutely. That was how wonderful is that as an icon that kids are going to recognize? And, if it's Legos that make them remember, I think it's wonderful.
Let's go to Sancha in Telluride. Hi, Sancha. Is it Sancha?
It is. It's Sancha.
Hi. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks. So I loved listening to Ellie just now, who's really cute, and what I do is I run a science education organization in Telluride, and we spend the summer with kids like Ellie doing projects that I think Lynn would sort of relate to. We do a program called Punk Science all summer, and it's geared towards kids from 4 to 10, and we learn about thermodynamics by studying the science of steam and playing with putt-putt boats. We scoop water bugs out of our pond. We just do lots of fun science experiments with kids all summer, and this is my first summer doing it, and it's been such a fun summer with all these kids, exploring and having fun.
How fun. Do you get the water striders, the ones that walk right on top of the surface of the water?
Yes, we were looking at those. We were, we shot off some rockets.
Oh, fun.
To think about the science of explosions, and what else? We studied polymers by making goo and slime.
Oh, slime.
Yeah, so it's fun to just, what I like to call renegade science, just fun, experiment, blow stuff up.
Yeah,
don't take it so seriously.
You need Lynn's Pop Bottle Science book.
Yeah,
I need to pick some of those up.
In there too, yeah.
Well, thanks for calling, Sancha, and have a good holiday.
So much.
Let's see if we can get one more call in here before we have to go. Daniel in Sycamore, Illinois. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you, sir?
Hi there.
Yes, I have an all obsidian spear point and flesh scraper and arrowhead and collection that I got from my friend Vincent Long Nguyen, a Vietnamese gentleman. It means Vincent the Dragon House of Happiness. And I put it on temporary loan to the local Natural History Museum here in Sycamore, Illinois, which makes me a Sycamoron. I've been a long-time listener. This is my first-time caller, and I'm so nervous. I got to go. I'll take my response off the air. God bless you.
All right, Daniel. Long time, first time. But that's interesting. He actually loaned his collection.
That's great.
To a museum, so more people can enjoy it.
Yeah, that's cool.
Some people like to hide them in drawers and put them on, in a shelf in their room. Mm-hmm. But that's a great thing to do, is to loan your collection.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Lynn, I want to thank you for taking time to be with us, and hope you're getting out a little bit more this weekend.
Yeah, we're planning on it. It doesn't end at our house. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Lynn Brunell, author of several books, including Pop Bottle Science. You got the pop bottle and everything with it. It's a great book. And Camp Out, both published by Workman.